All right, this morning in Revelation chapter 6, we're going to start the study, and I want to talk to you about Satan. Maybe we'll take two or three Sundays, but I want us to study some things in the Word of God pertaining to Satan. Now, suppose we read a couple of verses in chapter 6, verse 1. Revelation 6, 1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." And then he talks about the second seal and whatever on down the line. Now there is a character in verse 2 there on that white horse that we know to be the Antichrist. That is, people who believe the Word of God. Most of the people that study the Bible today don't believe that that's the Antichrist. They believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I have an Oxford Bible here that has a center reference section. I've tried to get a Bible without the center reference section, and I don't guess there is hardly an exception to the rule. If it does have a center reference section, they'll give you a reference to the white horse rider there in Psalm 45, verse 4 and 5. And Psalm 45 is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The center reference section in Bibles are prepared by men who do not believe that the Antichrist is the Antichrist. And most of them that do that believe that the devil has been chained and that Revelation chapter 20 is not real. That is, that most of the things in Revelation chapter 20 are mythical and they're like parables. And that the Lord will not literally return, but that the kingdom is being spread now, and eventually it'll get throughout all the earth, and that there is no such thing as a bottomless pit, and no such thing as the chain over there, that the chain is not real, it's a state of being, and on. Well, I believe that the character in the Bible that is most like the Lord Jesus Christ than any other character in the Bible is the devil himself. I believe that the devil is a created being. I was reading an article last night written by a man, and he tries to imply that the devil is not created by God, but I don't believe that. The Bible says that the Lord created all things. By him are all things created, by him and for him. And so I believe the devil is a created being. I believe that he's a cherubim and so forth. But the comparison with the devil and the Lord Jesus Christ is so close in the Bible that people give the devil credit for the things done by the Lord, and give the Lord credit for things done by the devil. And there be passages where the devil is obviously referred to, and people think it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and there is work going on today, this work being done by the devil, promoted by the devil, and whatever, and people say that's the Lord's work. And people are real funny about this kind of thing. And you know, people don't like for you to tell them the truth. They don't like for you to say anything about him. We live, the word passive would be the condition of most people in the United States today or in the world today. We've watched television and read news articles so long and whatever and listened to the liberal attitude of the people who promote television and whatever until we are getting just like them. For instance, people pay attention to the tone of your voice rather than the things you say. You ever notice that? I mean, people are dumb. Really dumb. You can say anything you want to say about anybody under any circumstances as long as you're sweet about it. And if you tell people the truth, the real truth, and you have a particular look on your face, and your voice is strong, they get upset at you and get offended. People are dumb. They're like animals. You know, I got a cat at home. That cat's name is Princess. Suppose I walked in, and that cat is there, and I said, "Princess, you're a fine animal. I think you're the most beautiful cat I've ever..." You know what that cat would do? Take off. But I could go in there and I'd say, "Princess, you sorry dumb animal, I'm going to get the shotgun and blow your brains out." And that cat would just purr. That's the way people are. Like a dog. If I had a dog, I could go outside and say to that dog, "Grover, you sorry good-for-nothing hound. I love you. I think you're just wonderful." And whatever, you know, that dog would fold up and try to get out of my way. But if I walked out there and I said, "You're no good, and I'm going to kill you, I'm going to get a knife and cut your throat," and on, you know, that dog would just wag his tail and look up at me with his tongue hanging out and hassling and whatever. People are just like that. You tell them the truth, and if the tone of your voice is not exactly that which they like, they get offended. But if it's syrupy and irpy and honey bunny and sweetheart and sugar and whatever, like the devil does, you know, I mean, they'll just love you for it. And they say, "That's the most wonderful preacher that I've ever heard in my life." People are crazy. And I believe that's a result of the brainwashing that the devil has brought about as he promotes the religious system today, being the god of this world. Notice in a comparison of two characters here, Revelation chapter 6 now, and turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. All right, in Revelation 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Notice that he judges and he makes war, but he does it in righteousness. He's not going forth to conquer and to conquer. He's doing what he's doing in a righteous manner, proper. Verse 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." There's no doubt about him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ in his second coming. Now, if you compare the two, though, there is no way that you can make them be the same if you believe the Bible means what it says. There is no such thing as heaven opening in chapter 6, verse 2. Heaven is open in chapter 4. In chapter 4, John sees heaven open, and a voice said, "Come up, and I'll show you the things which shall be hereafter." And heaven is open, and John goes up. Revelation 19, heaven is open, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes down. And you know, I don't know exactly what all the significance is. I don't claim to be smart or brilliant or any such thing as that, and I don't understand the book of Revelation, everything about it. I believe it, but I don't understand all about it. But I know that the church is mentioned over and over and over in Revelation chapter 1, Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 3. Then in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, there's heaven is open, and John, who is said to be a companion with others in tribulation and whatever, and in the kingdom of the Lord and all, in Revelation chapter 1, when heaven is open, John goes up. Then the church is not mentioned again. It isn't referred to. There's not one word about the church again. You go all the way through. There's immediately thereafter, there's the seals begin to be opened. The white horse rider comes out. And on it goes. And then heaven is open, and down comes the Lord Jesus Christ and the armies which are in heaven following him. And in righteousness he makes war. He comes for the battle of Armageddon and whatever. And so I don't know exactly what the significance is, the way that God Almighty put down the fact of the churches there and doesn't mention them anymore, unless the church, whatever the church is referred to in chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's gone after chapter 4. And personally, I believe that's exactly what takes place. And I don't believe it's the body of Christ, but I believe the church, represented by the church at Jerusalem, is gone by that time. But anyway, it isn't mentioned again. Now, these two characters, the one comes at the first of the tribulation, the other comes at the end of the tribulation. The one coming at the first of the tribulation is on a white horse. The one at the end of the tribulation is on a white horse. The one coming at the first has a bow in his hands. The one coming at the end has a sword, and I believe there's a tremendous emphasis upon that bow, and I haven't been able to put it all together yet. But that bow has got to have some kind of significance to it. I find that David, two or three times, makes reference to a bow of steel. And that bow of steel is after him. And David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I wouldn't be surprised if we found out that that bow that that white horse rider in Revelation chapter 6 has in his hand might be made of steel. I don't know about that. But nevertheless, he comes forth with a bow, and the one in Revelation 19 comes forth with a sword. I know what the sword is. The Bible says that it's the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And the words proceed out of his mouth. It's the sword of the Spirit. Then the armies in heaven follow the one in Revelation chapter 19. But there's something following that one in Revelation chapter 6. The thing that follows him is destruction and misery and pain and death and sorrow and hunger and tribulation and whatever. The thing that follows the one in Revelation chapter 19 is the battle. He puts down evil and whatever, and then peace and harmony follows him, Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 21, 22, and whatever. They're not the same. And yet there's so much alike in the Bible that people identify them as one and the same. Why, you know something? If you met the Antichrist today, you wouldn't know but what he was the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Antichrist could appear to men today, and they'd bow down and worship him, and they'd give glory unto him, and whatever. Now, you keep something in mind. If the devil appeared here today, the devil would not appear in this pulpit with any horns or any pitchfork, or he wouldn't have any, none of those things that people contribute to him. I mean, if the devil appeared here today in this pulpit, that devil would have, he'd be dressed like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, look like a man, and whatever, and he'd speak with a voice of authority, but he'd have a softness and a tenderness about him, and he'd quote scriptures right and left, one after the other, just like he quoted to the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 and other places there. But you know something? There ain't but one possible way that you or anybody else can know whether it's the devil or whether it's the Lord, and that's by the Spirit of God leading you pertaining to the Word of God. The Spirit of God isn't going to direct you to understand who anybody is under any circumstances without the identification of that individual being in the Word of God. Therefore, I believe that the only way I can identify the devil and the only way I can identify the Antichrist is going to the Word of God and find him. I can't read the books of men. I can't look at the past history and find out who the Antichrist is. During World War II, there was a man out in California who wrote a book, and he had thousands of copies of that thing printed, and in that book, he's proving that Mussolini was the Antichrist. Turned out Mussolini wasn't the Antichrist, and the fellow cried about it, and in effect said, "You've got rid of my Antichrist," and there's all them books ain't worth the paper they're written on. And then here's this fellow just not over a year or two ago wrote this article, and he says that you can identify the Antichrist by a numerical system taking A, B, C, D, E, F, so forth as numbers. A represents one, B represents two, and whatever. And he came up with Henry Kissinger as the Antichrist. Well, you couldn't be further from the truth if you tried. The Antichrist can be identified, but he only can be identified in the Bible. And I'm interested in the devil himself. And just as Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, Antichrist is the devil manifest in the flesh. So then we ought to be interested in that we can point somebody else and show somebody else the power that is carrying on in religion today. The devil himself. Turn please to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Like I said, folks, I'm not too wise, I'm not too smart, I'm not too brilliant, but I can read, and I think that's all you need. By the Spirit of God, you read, and I mean there's some things there that are just obvious, and I'm aware of the fact that you can pick up some material around about that are written by fundamental Bible-believing men, and they'll give you insight into the Scripture. I believe that anybody that believes the Bible is the Word of God and preaches and teaches the Word of God and rightly divides the Word of truth and whatever could write a book, and you could trust the book just as well as you could trust that individual in the pulpit. And so there is literature that is good. I'm not saying that we're not to trust any literature or any such thing as that. I believe there are people that know Greek and Hebrew, and but they don't trust the Greek and the Hebrew. They trust the King James Bible, but by certain words in the Greek and the Hebrew that are obvious, then they can get some kind of idea about other words in the Scripture by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, I believe that's the Antichrist. I believe that's the man of sin, the son of perdition. Hold on the passage and go to 2 Thessalonians. And if I can trust a comparison of Scripture with Scripture, then there's no doubt about this character. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, so forth and so on. If I go back to Ezekiel again, and I notice in Ezekiel that here is this son of, this prince of Tyrus that is to be spoken unto, and there is a message here pertaining to him, and I find that this character says, I am God. His heart is lifted up, and yet he's a man. Then I find there is a man under some circumstance somewhere, sometime, and that man is going to say, I'm God, and yet he's not God. But he's going to prove to himself that he is God, and he's going to prove to others that he's God, and he's going to perform miracles that'll prove to them that he is God, and they'll trust him as God. All right, verse 4. With thy wisdom and thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I'll bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. They shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou say before yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. In other words, the proof that this is not God is going to be in the fact that he dies. And there are going to be some people going to see that, and they're going to understand that, and they're going to know the message of Ezekiel to Israel, and that's going to pertain for that time and see that truth and run for their lives. Others will not. They won't believe the Word of God. They'll stick around. And this character will come up from the dead. And when he does, he'll come up as a king. Go into verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. By the way, when you think about it and you compare Judas Iscariot here, as we did last Sunday and have done before, Jesus Christ said, Haven't I chosen you 12? And he refers to Judas Iscariot, and he calls him the son of perdition. Paul says that the man that says, I'm God, is the son of perdition. Revelation chapter 17 tells me that the beast, and we saw last week that the beast has to do with a kingdom, and yet over that beast is a king, and that king is a man, and he has a number. And he is someone who was, and he is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And I find in the Word of God, if I compare Revelation chapter 9 and several other passages, that there is something about Judas Iscariot that isn't exactly normal as far as all men are normal. For instance, I find in Revelation chapter 6 that Jesus Christ, talking to the 12, they're about to run away and leave him, and he says, in effect, I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil. Well, if one of them is a devil, then there is something about one of those 12 men that is different from all the rest of them. And I don't know exactly what that is. I don't know exactly. I can't put my finger on anything there and absolutely come up with anything that would be substantial to people who don't believe as I do in the Bible. But I don't believe that Judas Iscariot is a natural born man in the sense that other people are naturally born men. I believe he's begotten by the devil, for the Bible says that the devil is his father. And I also know that there's something about him. Brother Ruckman has a thing on the fact of his name Iscariot that I think is tremendous. For instance, Iscariot, Ish is man in Hebrew. Iscariot is a Hebrew word. Iscariot. And Cariot has to do with Moab. The Bible is clear that it is Moab, has something to do with Moab. In other words, Iscariot is the man from Moab. And I know who the Moabites are. The Moabites are the descendants from Lot, and Lot begat them, committing incest with his daughters. And they came from Sodom. And I know the characterization of the people in Sodom. And so all I'm doing, I don't know, there's something about Judas's character that isn't, there's something odd about that character in the Bible. But whoever he is, I believe that the Bible seems to say. In other words, if I'm going to accept the scripture at face value by comparing verses with other verses, then I'd have to say that Judas Iscariot is the Antichrist. I'd have to say that Judas Iscariot is the man that sits in the temple of God and says, I'm God. For the man that sits in the temple of God and says, I'm God, is called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition. And I compare the passages, I come back to Ezekiel 28, then I believe that Judas Iscariot is the prince of Tyrus. And you know something? You don't want to forget one fact. There is something about those people around Sodom and Gomorrah that go out of there with Lot. They had a mother that evidently is a black woman. And therefore, she was probably an Egyptian or whatever. And the word, Egypt in the Bible is referred to as the land of Ham in Psalm 106, Psalm 105. And if you put it all together, then there is an indication that Judas Iscariot would have been some sort of a half-breed. And that black that is referred to over and over in this Bible would have got into him somewhere there. And Judas Iscariot does what he does because of what he is, just as Pharaoh did what he did because of what he is. In other words, Pharaoh in the Bible, are you aware, is a type of the Antichrist. Judas Iscariot would be like unto Pharaoh, or Pharaoh like unto Judas. All right, verse Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, no, I got further than that, didn't I? Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Iniquity, by the way, is the opposite of righteousness. In fact, iniquity would be likened to unrighteousness in the Bible. And if you think about it, and if you're led by the Spirit of God right now, then there'll be some things running together in your mind. For instance, in Romans, over and over and over, God Almighty refers to somebody teaching and preaching in unrighteousness and leading the people in unrighteousness and come out from among unrighteousness and on and on. And the link with the word iniquity cannot be missed in the Bible. Iniquity is the opposite of right. In other words, iniquity is inequity, and it has to do with crookedness. Righteousness has to do with that which is right and perfect. They're opposites. Iniquity, righteousness. Alright, iniquity was found in him. Unrighteousness is found in him. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by a reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And if you're thinking, you'll certainly see in verse 17 a connection between the devil's tempting Eve with the tree of life. Satan is exalted. He exalts himself because of his wisdom and whatever. And Satan said to Eve, God knows that the day you eat of this tree, you'll be as God's knowing. And it has to do with wisdom. And this man is exalted because of his wisdom. Verse 18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the way, you show me somebody that doesn't know anything. You show me somebody that hasn't been educated and re-educated and over-educated and whatever. And I'll show you somebody that possibly you can reach with the Word of God. You show me a fellow that's been educated and whatever and given doctorates and this and that and the other and studied science, which God said let alone in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And they've studied that thing up one side and down the other. And I'll show you, man, that it's hard to show the truth of the Word of God. Why? They're exalted because of the beauty of their wisdom. And there isn't an exception to that rule. And I challenge you to show me one. Wisdom exalts us in pride and egotism. And we lift ourselves up because of our wisdom, just like he did. That's a satanic trend. Verse 18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And so forth and so on. Now I'm interested there in two words that stand out. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, and in verse 18, by the iniquity of thy traffic. And I find that these two words are spelled in the Hebrew like this. Whatever that is. And if you think I'm just blowing off my mouth, get your concordance. That's all you got to do. Just get your concordance or any Hebrew text and go through that thing. Check it out and see. They're the same word in effect. Now, but the same words are translated from another word in other places in the Bible. And that word is like that. And it's also like that. Now those words are from one root word and they all bring forth the same thought. They have the thought of moving. moving from one place to the other and carrying something as you go. Merchandising, traffic. In other words, the drug traffic has to do with drug being the merchandise carried from one place to another and sold and whatever. Now, this character in Ezekiel chapter 28 is merchandising. He's a salesman, and he carries something. He has something to deliver, and he carries it about. And the thing overwhelms me when I check the passages in the Bible. They're so outstanding, you can't miss them. For instance, this word right here is translated talebearer in the Bible, and it's translated slanderer in the Bible. And by putting the whole thing together, hey, there ain't no doubt I know what that dude merchandises in. I know what his product is. His product is slander. And he slanders God from the very beginning he did so. He said, yea, hath God said, you're not to eat of every tree. Why, God doth know, and he begins to slander God. But you know something? He's not absolutely negative in his attitude toward Eve. He's loving in his attitude toward Eve. In other words, the idea being, I'm not denying the existence of God to you. I'm aware that God exists, and we all believe in God, but God, in effect, has held something from you, and thus and thus and thus. And he's never totally negative, but he's a slanderer. He uses profanity. The word profane has to do with saying things about God that would be slanderous toward God and whatever. Using the Lord's name in vain. Profane the things of God. Look at the words in the Bible. For instance, turn to Leviticus chapter 19, and the word rakel is translated here. Leviticus chapter 19. And folks, pay attention. This is very important. You know, like I said a while ago, I'm not too brilliant. I'm not too smart. But you know something? I got the Word of God. Therefore, I can tell some things that go on. I mean, I don't have to have somebody send me a picture postcard. I don't have to see the thing written on a billboard somewhere. I mean, I know when the devil is the devil, and I know when people are used by the devil. Why? Because I got the Word of God to show me. Leviticus 19, and notice verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord, and bless your soul. The word talebearer is trafficker. And the traffic in a merchandise, and the merchandise is slander. Thou shalt not go up and down as a slanderer, rakel, slandering other people. And if you missed the going up and down, you missed a blessing. Keep that in mind. God is very precise. Go up and down. Go up and down. Watch the words. Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. All right, Proverbs 20, notice verse 19. Proverbs 20, 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer, revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Turn, please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And notice the word is rakel, and it's translated slander. Jeremiah 6, verse 28. Well, let's go to verse 26. O daughter, my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I've set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. Walking, going up and down, traveling, walking with slanders. They're brass and iron. They're all corruptors. Isn't it amazing of the traveling every time? They move about and slander as they tell tales. Turn, please, to chapter 9. Jeremiah, chapter 9. Chapter 9, go to verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave thy people and go from them, for they be adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take you heed every one of his neighbor, and trust you not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. There you go with that walking again. Isn't it amazing how they're always traveling around? Turn, please, to Job chapter 1. Now, we saw in Ezekiel chapter 28 that this character in Ezekiel 28, verse 14, has walked up and down. This slanderer of Ezekiel 28 has... he has merchandise. The merchandise is talebearers. He has slander. He slanders God. He slanders the Word of God. And he walks up and down in doing this job. He doesn't stay put. I mean, he's on the go. And I bet you he's got bruised knuckles from knocking on doors. And I bet he's beat a pathway up and down the hallways of the hospitals. He walks up and down. He doesn't slow down. He doesn't sit down. He's busy all the day long. Now, notice in Job chapter 1. Give me just a moment, please. In Job 1, verse 7. Job 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence camest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. He doesn't sit down, he moves. Look in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence camest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And you know something? In both cases, if you read the passages that follows, you'll find that he slandered Job before God. He walks up and down slandering and bearing tale. He said, Job doesn't really love you. He tells on Job. He's trying to get something on him, trying to present something before the Lord. He's a tale bearer. He's a slanderer. He walks up and down in doing it. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't stay still, he's on the move. Now, I find that the traffic in Ezekiel 28 is slander, it's tail-bearing, and whatever. It is profaning the Word of God. I find that also the one that does it in that church. The merchandise, rather, is slander, but he traffics it. He walks up and down as he does it. And so put them all together, and I find that the Bible refers to people who walk about slandering as they go. And you know what? They don't normally fool with anybody except those that are interested in the things of God and preaching and teaching the things of God. I mean, you let somebody be getting on with the Word of God and preaching and teaching the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of Truth and standing for the Word of Truth, and watch the talebearer start moving and the slanderer start moving and knocking on somebody's door. And you know what? They don't have to get out of their room today. All they got to do is dial the telephone and let their fingers do the walking. And not through the Yellow Pages either. And you know something, folks? The thing about all this to me is that when you put your finger on it, I mean when you get in the pulpit and you start reading the passages and put your finger on the passages and show people what God said in the passages, people have a downcast attitude about them. They have a sadness about them. And they act like, I wish that he wouldn't do that. I wish he wouldn't say that. Well, folks, you know what I'm talking to you about? I'm talking to you about the devil, about Satan, about the god of this world, about the leader in the religious system. That's what I'm talking to you about. Turn, please, in your Bible to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 3. 1 Timothy, chapter 3. In 1 Timothy, chapter 3, there is the qualifications for a bishop. And he gives those qualifications through verse 7. Then there's the qualification for a deacon. And he gives those qualifications in the next three verses. Now watch verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Then you wouldn't be surprised to find the truth of chapter 5 by Paul. Turn to chapter 5 and look what he says. Chapter 5, and notice verse, let's go to verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number, that is, that receives provisions from the church there and whatever, under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she brought up children, if she've lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she've relieved the afflicted, if she've diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they've begun to wax wanton against Christ, they'll marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not, and on and on. Hey, folks, you don't have to be wise. All you have to do is believe the Bible. Now, all this seems to come to a climax. It seems to God just puts his finger. There is one woman in this Bible that other women just point to like the ones that we just read about. One of them is Jezebel. In fact of the business, Jezebel is a daughter of Ethbaal. And Ethbaal has to do with Ham, came through the line of Ham, and on the thing goes. But nevertheless, it's Baal worship. It's a worshiper of Satan himself. But nevertheless, I end up with the whole thing in Revelation chapter 17. I find in Revelation 17 that there's a woman there. And this woman, bless your soul, is a mother. And this mother is the mother of harlots and abominable things. In other words, this woman, by the way, I find also traffics, and she has merchandise, and she has treasures and gold and whatever. And as I watch that woman and identify that woman, in the world today by the Bible, I find that that woman is walking up and down in this earth, and she is slandering those that believe the Word of God. She is a tale bearer. That's why that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth with fables, and that's tales. And on the thing goes. You can't miss it, folks. Satan himself is a trafficker. He has a merchandise. His merchandise is slander. He slanders God, and he slanders the Word of God, and he slanders those that believe this book and stand for this book. Now, you know something? There is no need for us to bow our heads and the piano play softly, however. The whole thing is, if you can see anything in this thing, and I did when I began to study this, pertaining to myself, never allow the devil to use you as a slanderer, as a tale bearer, as